Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the program today. My name is Tom Harris. Welcome to Tom Harris Live. Today is February 19th of 2011. And if you are listening here at about 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, and which is about 4 p.m. over in the UK, then you were listening to the show live. Today is, kind of a chill show. And it would be a real good show if people want to call up. It'd be a great show for them to call up. Now, you can call, if you're in the UK, you can actually call by telephone. And the phone number here is 020-3287-1488. That is a local London number. So if you're in the UK, you can make the call to the station for the same price as a normal call to London. So fantastic. And yes, it does actually get to me here in Chicago. Fantastic. Yeah, so it is kind of a nice chill day today. And of course, you can Skype in at United Kingdom Radio if I forgot to mention that. Oh, before I forget, now, Chris had made a comment as he was signing off that he would be here Thursday. Well, he will be here Tuesday for his show on Tuesday. So don't miss Chris. He will be here on Tuesday as normal. I guess he meant to say Tuesday, ended up saying Thursday, but he'll be here. So you can feel free to tune in to Chris Reardon at his regular time.
I love it.
All right, so here we go. Hello to Vicky. Vicky Gannon, hello. She's saying that, she's here, and looks like she's logged up. But I did let people know that Chris would be here, so that is the important thing. That is the most important thing. Anyway, so I'm going to chat today kind of about a variety of things. Now, I have an email here, and I have a couple of voice comments, one of which was not actually addressed to my show. I mean, it was sent to me by a good friend, Michael Moss, and I'm not sure if I'm going to play it or not, because it's not directly relevant to the discussion that we were having. I might play it anyway. We'll see how the space thing kind of turns out with the show and the timing and all that. But I do have a message about imaginary friends from Scott Mitchell from Scott Podcast. Hello, Scott, if you're out there. I know Scott listens in podcast. I don't think that he listens live to the program. But anyway, so we have our usual features as well. And I think it's going to be kind of, like I said, kind of a chill day. Now, it is fantastically warm out here in Chicago. This has been a week of really, really warm temperatures. I wouldn't say unseasonably warm necessarily, because we are now getting into the spring weather pattern. It's not quite there yet. I think I talked a little bit about this last year. Talking about this last year when about the same time of year. I think it was a little bit later in the year when I can kind of feel when the shift occurs. If you know what I mean, the shift from winter to spring. And to me, the air feels different. The atmosphere feels different. It could be sunny and warm, but you know, it just doesn't feel yet like spring. And that's kind of where we are right now. Now, remember the last couple of weeks, I've been talking a lot about Snowpocalypse 2011. And we got like a foot of snow. Just heavy, heavy drifting of snow all over the place. It has been, you know, kind of a mess. And you know, a lot of people not getting stuck necessarily, but a lot of snow and a lot of clearing to do, a lot of mess to clean up. All gone, folks. All gone. Almost every bit of that snow is gone. We have had temperatures in the 40s and into the 50s this week. And so, you know, the snowpocalypse is done. I mean, that is it. And I have a feeling, I definitely have a feeling that we're not going to get any more snow this winter. At least not very much snow. A little bit of snow, maybe. But to me, it feels like it's done. You know, I think, I mean, hopefully it is. And I'm looking forward to having a little bit more warmer weather, getting out and about. Though, you know, I'll be honest with you, folks. I don't mind winter. I don't mind it at all. I don't mind the snow. I don't mind the cold. It's not something that, yeah, you know, it's part of the change of the seasons. It's part of the turning of the wheel of the year, if I want to use a kind of a hippy dippy neo-pagan sort of term, which I guess I just did. But the it's part of the seasons, and I like the change of seasons. It's one of the things. Now, I lived in Florida. I'm not from Florida. Somebody was, I think it was Steven, was saying that he thinks I thought I was from Florida. No, I lived in Florida for a long time, though. I'm actually originally from the area of Cleveland, Ohio, which is another one of these Midwestern states. For those of you who are not in the U.S. and may not be real clear on the American states, and why would you be? I mean, I don't know where. I mean, I don't know where Staffordshire is. You know, in reference to the rest of the UK. I mean, I know where some of the places in the UK are, but I don't know where all of them are. So why would I expect, you know, a British person to know where Ohio is? But, it's a couple states over from where I am now. I'm a couple states west of Ohio now. But one of the things that I really disliked about Florida was that you had basically two seasons there. You had about 6 weeks of winter, which meant basically dry weather that was not too hot. You know, it was pleasant temperatures. You had about six weeks of pleasant temperatures between, you know, November and January. And then the whole rest of the year was, you know, humid and hot and nasty. And that's one of the reasons why I really disliked living in Florida. I didn't really cotton to living there, even though I was there for, 14 years or something. I figured that out. About 17 years that I was living in Florida. Definitely not my kind of climate. I definitely prefer a more temperate climate where you actually have the change of seasons. You have snow, you have rain, you know, you have fall colors. You know, that's the sort of thing I like. And I've often said, and I've even said it on the show probably, that my ideal climate would be a relatively dry climate where it got into the, you know, down into the 40s at night. And maybe about 60 during the day. That, to me, that would be ideal. That would be fantastic. I would love that. Let's see. We have a message coming in. So Bob, I don't know, is saying, so you've either had a crap week or you just haven't prepared anything. Ha ha. Very perceptive. I haven't had a crap week. I really haven't. Though, you know, things at work are being very dodgy at work. Now, I've talked about this before. That the company I'm working for is dissolving. They're actually, I wouldn't say liquefying their assets because they're not really. It's a restaurant group. It's several restaurants, and two of the restaurants have been bought by another company, and the other two are kind of splitting apart. And therefore, the corporate office where I work is going to be closing out, and so I'm going to be losing my job. I don't know though exactly when. This is that the hard part is not knowing when. So Bob, I don't know, is saying, I always get lost with Georgia. Is it a country or a state or both? Well, it's both. It's both. It's a state and a country, but the country is not in the United States. So anyway, that's one of those places that I don't really have a lot of desire to go there, the country of Georgia. That doesn't seem like a vacation spot. I guess it would be interesting because they have a really, really interesting culture. I mean, they used to have an empire. I mean, they used to have a fairly large amount of territory down there in the Caucasus that they controlled. So maybe it would be interesting. I do have interest in a lot of the other sort of Eastern European countries and all that, and of course, you know, that would give me more material for travel shows as well. And I do love doing the travel shows. Had a comment this week. I'm going to go ahead and in a minute read this email I have. Bob is asking, am I feeling better now? Yeah, I'm feeling better now. I Yeah, those of you who are paying attention, I had kind of a bad week last week. Wasn't feeling well at all. That had a lot to do with the, you know, I think the digestive stuff that I've been dealing with. And I haven't really gotten down to the bottom of all that yet. But by and large, yeah, I'm all right. yeah, it has been one of those weeks, though. And I've been trying to kind of get ready for losing the job and all of that stuff because we know it's coming. But it just hasn't happened yet. And that is kind of where it is, you know. And it is what it is. And, you know, my attitude about this whole thing is not knowing what's going on. And that I don't think they're keeping it a secret from us who are working there. I don't think they know either. I think that it's kind of everything is kind of in stasis right now. We don't know where things are going. We know that we're going to be losing our jobs, but we don't know when. That makes it really hard to prepare. That makes it hard to schedule, you know, because I want to actually take a little bit of a break after. I didn't want to, I want to take a break after I stop working. And the plan right now I've been talking about coming to the UK. I don't know if that's going to happen. But it might, you know, it's one of those things that I'm kind of weighing over because I have to budget it. I have to think, okay, well, you know, if I go over to the UK for a week or two and spend some time there, I have to know, well, okay, how much am I going to spend? Is it going to be worth it to go over there? I want to do that, but it looks more likely at this point than, and like I said, I could change my mind. Yeah, later tonight, you know, I could change my mind. But I'm going to take a road trip, and I've kind of started plotting this out. And the reason why is because, you know, when I go on vacation, I tend to want to go away. I want to go to another country. I want to go, you know, somewhere outside of the U.S. and, you know, see stuff that I haven't seen before. But I've been doing that a lot on my vacations over the last 10 years or so, actually, you know, even really more than that, like 15 years. And I haven't spent a lot of time with my family. And I think this might be that trip. I think that I might actually do a couple of weeks and go see various family members. And I've been kind of plotting out this road trip that would take me kind of in a circle from here in Chicago, down to Arkansas where my mom lives, maybe stay there for a day. And I've been actually even thinking about making a little side trip because there's a couple different ways that I can go to Arkansas and a couple different routes that I can take. And one of those routes, it would not be very far out of the way to stop in Oklahoma and maybe drop in and see Stacy. That would be cool. And I actually even mentioned it to Stacy already. That's one of the things that one of the ideas that I kind of put, because yeah, Oklahoma, I mean, it's not real close to Chicago, but it's also not real far. And where Stacy is actually not very far. It's only like maybe 2 or 3 hours by car from where my mom lives in Arkansas. So I've been thinking about it. Let's see. Bob, I don't know, is saying, I did wonder why the U.S. didn't nuke Russia when they invaded. Do you know anything about burials in your country? Not thinking that you're that ill, but I heard something earlier and it got me thinking, which is always scary, me thinking. Oh, I don't know about that. Do I know anything about burials? I think it really depends. I think it depends on what, you know, where you're being buried. I know that up here in Illinois, in Chicago, we have the sort of normal cemeteries, you know, and I love cemeteries. I think I've talked about that before. I think of them as being like these big parks full of art. That's, yeah, some of them are not very exciting, but some of them are more exciting than others. But yeah, here we have now. Yeah, we have just sort of normal cemeteries, and they're big, large, walled-in areas with lots of people under the ground. And they so I'm not sure what you mean, Bob. So let me know what about burials? I guess is the question, because some people have like vaults. You know, they would have like themselves put in a box and stuck in these vaults above ground. And then some people would be buried in the ground, and then some people would get burned up, crackle, 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 which is a bit of a shock if you're not quite dead yet. And random Monty Python reference there. So, so it depends on what you mean by that. All right, so I'm going to move ahead. I'm going to talk a little bit. I'll read my email first, because I have an email here, and it touches on a couple different things. This is a mail from James Bates. Hello, James. And I know James is out there listening in podcast. And James and I have had a little bit of a email exchange this week, because he was asking about geocaching. And yes, it's getting to the time of year now when I can start geocaching again, because it's getting warmer, and that's awesome. So, anyway, is an email from James here. Hi, Tom. Heard your broadcast. I'm afraid things like religion is always going to be a hot topic. Yeah, you know it. And people have their views on it. Glad you touched on the bloke's comment. Shame he feels offended. I've never really found you offensive at all. I'm afraid that if he thought that this radio station is deeply conservative and religious, then I think this may be the wrong station. The wrong station for him. Yeah. And I've never found it too much of that here. Not that I'm saying that you and the station are doing a bad job, and your travel talks are always good. King's Cross and St. Pancras stations are near each other, but it even confuses me, and I live on the border of London. One of the stations the trains leave and go up the east coast of the UK to Scotland, and I believe that's King's Cross now, and one of the trains leaves to go up the west coast of the UK to Scotland, and the only thing I know is that St. Pancras station is the terminus for the Eurostar now. Oh, that's new to me. I didn't realize that. The Scottish New Year is always good to see. If it goes ahead, weather sometimes is a letdown. But it's good without being too Scottish. I was talking about the ostentatious displays of Scottishness that you see along the Royal Mile. And Glasgow Barrows Market is good, too, without going over the top as well. And I hope the travel section continues from James. Well, thank you very much, James. Yeah. Yes, we're going to continue doing the travel shows now and then. Probably, lately it's been like every third show, hasn't it? And maybe that's right. Maybe that's what we should do. The next one is going to be about Finland. And I'm kind of putting together some stuff on it. It's a place that I've been to a bunch of times. And I don't know if it's going to go, more than one show or not. But, the way it is with these travel shows, and I really enjoy doing the travel shows, but I'm always worried that people aren't going to find it interesting. So it's always good to hear feedback from people who do find it interesting. Bob, I don't know, is saying, can you reuse plots where you are? I don't think that's normal here. I know that's like if you go to Paris and you go to like Père Lachaise Cemetery, I mean, that's normal there, because you lease the plot for a set amount of time. And, you'd be buried there, and then, 100 years later, maybe not even 100 years later, maybe it's like 20 years later or something, then they actually can resell the plot. I don't think it works that way here. At least I have never seen it happen that way here. Though I could be wrong. I know that in a lot of these older cemeteries here, and I do a lot of, I've talked about this on past shows, a lot of genealogical work and tracing family history and so forth. And part of that involves going to a lot of these cemeteries. And in particular, old cemeteries. Like pioneer cemeteries. And in a lot of those cemeteries, the graves are not very well marked or not marked at all. So you really have no idea where people are buried there. Because back in the day, they would put up a wooden plank They didn't really have a marble marker. That would have been too expensive for, the pioneers. They didn't have marble. They just had like slate or, whatever. And a lot of tombstones were made out of wood. And of course, after, a few years, those rot away. And so a lot of times when they move cemeteries, that's got to be a job. Bob, I don't know what's saying. I do travel shows. Yes, Bob, haven't you been paying attention? Where have you been, dear? I talked for a half an hour about Edinburgh last week. Where were you? And nobody reminded me to push the record button either. But that's okay. So back in the old days, they would use these wooden tombstones, and they would, they would rot away, and then people wouldn't know where the graves were, and people would just, bury the next person, on top of them or, next to them or whatever. They really didn't know. And, when people move cemeteries, now we had something about that not very long ago here in Chicago, because they're going to be extending one of the runways at O'Hare Airport. And during the course of this, they actually discovered a cemetery that they hadn't realized was still there. It was a cemetery, I think it was a African-American cemetery from the 19th century. And, and they had thought that that a lot of these graves had already been moved, but they were still finding graves. And they started to plot out where this runway was going to be. Bob, I don't know, is saying the burial thing. Yeah, that's what I thought. But it seems like it's changing over here. Well, that's interesting. Now, I've always said, for myself, now speaking strictly for myself, we have a sort of a tradition in my family where we get cremated. And we don't really do the burial thing. For genealogists, that's a real pain in the butt, I have to say, because there's no place that you can actually visit. But I've always said that, if I'm not able to have like this huge stone, statue and mausoleum and all that stuff, then I just want to be burned up. I just, it's not worth it unless I can have like this huge monument and a big statue of me at the top and with my winter beard flapping in the breeze. Bob, I don't know, is saying, not sure if it's true, but we'll have to wait until I get better and get out more. But I think the bloke who measured Everest is buried around the corner from me. Oh, that's interesting. Bob, I don't know, is saying, she's talking about the travel show last week. You were talking about that volcano and the festival place. I think I nodded off. Oh. It's all that diet water, dear. It makes you tired. Diet water makes you tired. You have to realize that. And I'm still thirsty, so you have to excuse my drinking. All right, so that is kind of what I had to say before. I'm going to play out Scott's comments here. Now, Scott, he doesn't usually listen live to the show because he usually has other things to do on Saturday morning. But he does listen to podcast, and he's been kind of part of the show from the very beginning. Anyway, he had a comment on my Imaginary Friends episode. That was two episodes back, and I'm going to go ahead and play it now. So here's Scott from Scott Podcast and his comments.
You were talking about imaginary friends. I have never had an imaginary friend. I've never had a friend who's had an imaginary friend. Nobody in my family, nobody I know anywhere, anyhow. Not my grandkids, nobody. I think you got to be kind of weird. I think you got to have some problems. And then you started to make this comparison between an imaginary friend and religion. And I can see how you're going to go there and try to draw that link. There are distinctions to be made, and they're significant. The fact that you might want to make that doesn't surprise me. I think anybody who is devoutly atheist wants all the evidence and all the push they can. But I think, I feel like that might be emotionally based overall. I'm not talking just you. I'm talking in general. That people base a lot of their belief systems on emotions. I freely admit that that's the case with mine. Most people don't admit to it. My beliefs as pertains to God and religion are based on my emotions and the need to believe in a ultimate higher power. I don't want to live in the hopeless universe that I feel like I'd be living in, with no hope of any kind of life or anything after death. I freely admit to that. And if other people have a problem with it, it's more their problem than mine. I like a more hopeful universe that I have when, if you will, imaginary friend is there. Sky Daddy, any way you want to make fun of him. It's not the same as an imaginary friend. Because if I flat out knew that God didn't exist, I'm a scientist, Tom. And if you can prove to me, without any doubt, scientifically that God doesn't exist, I'd have to not believe in him. But that can't be done. The converse is also true. I can't prove that he does exist. That's why people who are atheists can slice and dice people who are believers apart. And it doesn't behoove any believer out there to sit there and be arrogant about it. But I also don't think that it behooves people who are atheists to be the same way. I think both positions are equally arrogant and kind of stupid. I think, actually, my friend Homer's position as an agnostic is one of the most scientific positions that I can think of. I'm not sure about my friend Jack, if I've ever asked him, do you have any possibility in you that there could be a God or a superior being or creative designer or anything of the sort that, you know, you are cocksure that this never can be proven, never will be proven, absolutely isn't there, yada, yada, yada. Because that's an untenable position in my mind, as untenable as it is to say, if you don't believe in God, you know, you're insane and you're going to hell forever. I find them equally untenable and ridiculous. My friend would say, if somebody said, there's a God, he'd say, yeah, you could be right. And if somebody else says there absolutely isn't one, he says, yeah, you could be right. And to him, he says, well, science is out. Can't prove he's there. Can't prove he's not there. So, you know, at this current point in time, I'm running my life kind of thinking that there isn't one, but there could be one. And I find that to be a very scientific position. But to me, somebody who was in that position would absolutely have no emotional need to taunt or otherwise make fun of people who believed, or people who didn't believe for that fact, because they would be a true fence sitter. And I could easily be one of them, except that I don't want to be because, again, it leaves me in that universe where it feels pretty cold to me. It feels like when I'm gone, I didn't matter, and there is nothing beyond this, and nothing really matters. And that's kind of how I feel about it. So, is that the same as an imaginary friend? I would say absolutely not. It's that's not a similar comparison to a kid who knows deep down in that this thing doesn't exist. Or although, Mary, it may be as a child, he doesn't. You could argue that. But then you're again comparing apples and oranges, because as an adult, you wouldn't. It wouldn't be the same thing if you knew God existed and yet you still went to church. I mean, that would be silly. If I knew God didn't exist and I went to church, wasted my time following all the rules, going to church, why would I do this? Unless, you know, I was a priest, and I saw that in the news a few nights back. There are these priests who have become atheists, and they can't admit it to their congregation because it's the only job they have, and jobs are hard to find. So they're in hiding. Priests in hiding. Atheist priests in hiding. It was on the news, you know, a while ago here, maybe a month or so ago, I saw it. And so they're out there. That would be a reason for doing that, but I can't think of any others, can you? Why in the world would anybody halfway logical waste their time, energy, and everything else going through the motions and not knowing they weren't getting anything out of it because it was all imaginary? I mean, that would just be stupid. So I don't think it is the same thing at all as a child who is really kind of playing. You compared it to having toys and kind of role-playing life and all that. I think it's more akin to that. I think the child knows that it's not real, but it's role-playing. God is not role-playing. And the idea of bringing those together seriously, to me, is kind of ludicrous. But that's just my opinion. And I had to put it down here.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Scott. Now, I do apologize if that was a little bit quiet, because I actually tried to turn up the volume on that, and I couldn't turn it up any more than it already was. And that's just, I guess, my bad planning when I did a little bit of editing. Now, I didn't do much editing on that. I made a comment that Scott likes to go off on tangents, and he does, but he didn't on that clip at all, did he? So anyway, it was all completely relevant. So anyway, I'm going to take a very quick break here. I'm going to play a couple of trails for you, and I'll be right back.
Hello, Chris Reardon here. I hope you enjoy our shows here at United Kingdom Radio. A bit of fundraising now for the station. If you fancy a bit of music in your life, then why not try one of my weekly non-stop music mixes? All music, no talking. You can get a new one each week and download them from www.chrisreardonshow.co.uk. For just 80 pence UK, that's about $1.30 US, they are over 75 minutes long and contain some of the brand new club tunes around at the moment in the UK. Download them now from www.chrisreardonshow.co.uk. My weekly mixes, just 80 pence. www.chrisreardonshow.co.uk.
United Kingdom Radio have teamed up with a brand new online internet radio music service called
You Love It, We Play It,
aimed at the over 25s and featuring some presenters that present right here on United Kingdom Radio. So if you've had enough of all that rabbit, thank you, Chaz and Dave, then try our brand new music service at www.youloveitweplayit.com.
All right, and there was a couple of advertisements there. We're getting low on trails here, folks. The other presenters need to provide new trails. Bob, I don't know, is saying that Scott sounded fine. Well, thank you very much, Bob. Sean Riches is listening today. Hello, Sean. And Sean is saying that my show is getting quite depressing. I think it's because we were talking about cemeteries, unless I miss my guess. So just a few thoughts on Scott's comment here. And if any of you have any thoughts on it as well, then feel free to contact the show. Now, if you don't want to call in, which you can do, you can Skype in at United Kingdom Radio, or you can call 020-3287-1488 if you're in the UK. But if you don't want to call in, and you would rather take your time and craft a reply, and you can email the show. And the email address for the show is tom@unitedkingdomradio.co.uk. And you can email me, and I'll read out your email on the next show, because that's what we do here. But just a few thoughts on Scott's comment here. What he's talking about, why would you go through the motions of religion, knowing that there was no God? And he thought it was kind of ludicrous. I can understand why people would. And a lot of it has to do with the social aspect. And especially if you're living in a place where people are very religious. And let's say that for instance, if you live in the Deep South and you're surrounded by fundamentalist Christians on every which side, you would have this social expectation that you would attend church, that you would attend church functions, that you would have, you know, that sort of a social circle. And so I can totally see why people would go through the motions and go to church and go to the, you know, church picnic or whatever, even though they didn't actually have any belief in a God. Now, when people say, well, you know, well, people, I'm offended, you know, that you think that God is an imaginary friend. It's completely different. I'm kind of interested in why people think it's different. Why? How is it different? And I have to, you know, I do kind of take exception to one thing that Scott said there, and that was that he thinks that atheists have an emotional need to not believe in God. You have to remember something, is that atheism is not a positive belief in no God. Atheism is a lack of belief in a God. And the two aren't the same. Bob, I don't know, is saying that she's tempted to call in and talk about different burial methods just to wind up Sean. Well, you feel free, Bob, to call in. You are always welcome on my show. So you call in if you want. But no pressure. You know, you don't have to call in. But anyway, what I was saying before, you know, it's like I don't actually see the difference between the imaginary friend thing and the God thing. Now, the thing about atheism, and particularly, now he's talking about his friend Homer. Now, Homer describes himself as an agnostic. Now, there's a lot of bickering, I guess you could say, in the atheist community about the term agnostic, because really, all atheists are agnostic. Because the whole thing about atheism is that, you know, atheism is a lack of belief. It is not a belief system in itself. And, you know, the whole atheism as a religion meme is something that was come up with by theists, by mainly by evangelical Christians, as a way to try to make a legal case that you shouldn't teach evolution in school because, quote-unquote, atheism is just another religion. And as somebody who is a rationalist and who looks at evidence, evidence is the number one thing for me. And I used to be a Christian. I used to be a Bible-believing, church-going Christian, and I wasn't just going through the motions. So I've actually been there. But after a while, you start to realize, at least if you have any kind of intellectual curiosity, and you look into these things, you begin to realize that the evidence just isn't there for a God. That if there were a God, the universe would be a very different place. And I like the quote that Penn Jillette uses. He says that he knows that there's not a God for the same reason that he knows that there's not an elephant in his car. Because it would be immediately obvious on any number of different levels if there were. It would be immediately obvious. And in particular, if there were a God that was consistent with the Christian religion. Now, you know, the founding fathers of our country, many of them were deists. They had sort of a belief in a supreme being, but it wouldn't be anything like what an evangelical Christian would think of as a God. As you know, a deist would believe that there is a God, but it's not this personal God that takes an active interest in individuals. And that is sort of the difference here. Getting a message here. James is saying, James Sanders is, I'm just plugging my show, but say that my first show starts next Saturday at 5 p.m. Oh, right. Well, welcome aboard. It's James. James Sanders is, I guess, is starting his show next Saturday at 5 p.m. Well, welcome aboard, James. You'll be following me every week. Okay, Bob Adeno is saying, Bob Adeno is calling in. Hello.
Sorry, that was rather instantaneous there.
So how are you? It's been a long time since I've heard from you.
Good afternoon, Tom. How are you feeling this week?
I'm feeling just fine this week. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Testing a banana constantly, but fine.
You're what? You. I'm sorry?
Testing a banana.
You're having a banana tasting. Ooh.
No. My medication that I'm on, it just tastes a banana. And even hours after having it, it just tastes, all I can taste is banana.
Oh, that's weird. What kind of, well, I guess it's not my business, but.
Well, it's children's medicine, but it's just basic antibiotics. Yeah.
All right, so you're taking children's medicine to become a child again? Is that the...
Well, I am a child anyway, so, you know. True, yeah.
Aren't we all?
And I did actually, I did notice on a website today, on the news, that one of the bottles of beer I've got in the house, they may have contain glass fragments.
Ooh.
The link there being, it's banana bread beer that I have.
Oh, you know, we actually bought a bottle of that for Pete.
All right. Has he tried it then?
Yeah, I think he liked it.
Well, I haven't tried it yet. I just kept it there. And
Is it the same batch number that would have the glass in it? Or?
No, sadly not. Otherwise, I was going to, you know. just drink it and see what happens.
Right. Well, that's what most people would do with beer anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, can you class it as fiber or something?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, imagine your friend's God.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
All right.
Right. Now, sorry, my stream suddenly caught up with me.
Your stream caught up with you.
And it was rather confusing. Right. It's not quite the same, is it?
What?
An imaginary friend is not quite the same as God.
Okay.
You tell God things, but you don't invite him round, especially for tea.
Mm-hmm.
And have little tea parties with God.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't get you into trouble, like some of your imaginary friends can.
Well, I would disagree with that, because you have a lot of people out there who, you know, they'll commit crimes, and then when they're asked why, they say, well, I was doing it because
the name of God.
Because God told me to do it. Or they would say that, you know, this person was infested with demons, and I had to kill them, you know.
True. I suppose I'm thinking of it childish, where, you know, little kids sitting around the tea parties and that strange little program that I sent you a few weeks ago, Hopper Tea.
Right, yeah.
Anybody who was around in England in the 1950s, 60s.
Hopper Tea is just absolutely bizarre.
Thankfully, I'm a little bit too young to have been subjected to that.
Uh-huh.
But my other half was brought up on the likes of that. Strange thing is, I'm the nutter and he's sane. But anyway,
that for those of you who aren't aware, that this Bob sent me a link to an old British.
Go to YouTube.
Go to YouTube and look up. Is it called The Adventures of Hoppity?
Is it Sarah and Hoppity? I think it is. Isn't it?
Sarah and Hoppity, old British TV show. It had to have been for like 1960. I mean, really,
50s or 60s. It
was. Yeah, I think it said 1960 on the video. And it is a bizarre little show. And bizarre in a weird, you know, bizarre in an interesting way.
Well, you can see where other characters later on come from after watching it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like, the first time he showed me that, it just sent chills down my spine. It was that scary.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, you watched that? Yeah, I watched it every week.
There are dear. There are a lot of shows, and especially you go back into the old days of TV, you get these children's shows that are just creepy.
Yes.
And
I've seen lots of them. I mean, I had lots of them myself, but...
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, there's like Torchy the Battery Boy and things like that. And I thought, no, and it's like, yeah.
Yeah,
what happens? Pinocchio was bad enough.
What happens when Torchy is left on for a while?
I dread to think. That one is another one that was thankfully a little bit before my time.
Uh-huh.
But I was introduced to it. It's like, okay, one showing, that will do.
Now, we had, kind of in the same vein as Torchy and also sort of Serenopity. We have this, you have Alka-Seltzer over in Britain, right?
Yes, we do.
Yeah. Well, back in the 50s, they had They had a mascot called Speedy Alka-Seltzer. And he was a boy whose body was an Alka-Seltzer tablet.
Okay.
Don't get wet.
Yeah, it really works.
You can imagine the people who came up with this stuff. People got paid for that idea.
Yeah. Which ones are the more twisted? The people who came up with the ideas, or the people who ended up, you know, having to suffer it when they were growing up?
Or the people who. The sickest people are the people who, you know, were in charge of the ad agencies that said, oh, that's a great idea.
I think there was less strict drug rules on drug taking in those days. That's all I'm going to say on the matter.
I have a feeling that, the advertising people would sit around and they would get drunk all day.
What do you think about '60s? '60s?
Yeah,
you know,
'50s, '60s.
There was lots of legal drugs, you know.
Yeah, yeah. They're dosing themselves in LSD and coming up
or
with
Alka-Seltzer. I mean, if you take too many Alka-Seltzer, who knows?
I you know, I hate Alka-Seltzer. I've had Alka-Seltzer maybe twice in my whole life. And I would rather actually have heartburn than take an Alka-Seltzer.
Do you have milk and magnesia over there as well? I don't think
it is. We do, yeah. We have milk and magnesia.
I'm not sure we still get it in this country these days.
Stephen Parker is saying that Baba Nino is the best caller that any of us have ever gotten. I agree with that.
Because he's just told me to call in. Because he's a little bit miffed with me, that's why.
Oh, why is he miffed at you?
Well, I'll let him tell you himself.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, I'd like to talk about burials, if you don't mind.
Sure.
So I can depress Sean.
Okay.
Okay. I thought it was a case of you buy, the same as what you said, you buy a plot for X amount of time. Mm-hmm. And when that expires, then they can dig you up and, well, reuse the plot, basically.
Okay.
And I heard this morning that you can only do that in certain areas of the country.
Oh, that's entirely possible.
Generally, it's about 100 years or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it has to be, you have to give it time for all body parts to have disintegrated.
But it's different nowadays, you know, the reason I say that is because here in the States, now I don't know about every type of burial there is, because there's lots of different kinds. Like down in Florida and Louisiana and places like that, you can't actually put a body into the ground because it won't stay there.
Just back up again.
It'll pop back up to the surface eventually.
Is that where the voodoo thing comes from?
Right, and you have, and you know, what they do is, you know, a lot of the, like, New Orleans, and you heard about this during the time of Hurricane Katrina, and you had the hurricane come through and it destroyed a lot of the cemeteries, so there were all these coffins floating around.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because the coffins were actually buried above ground. They were in vaults above the ground.
Right.
But in Florida, you know, there's so much groundwater that it just kind of, you know, pushes anything below the ground up. Now, here in Chicago, we have a lot more solid sort of earth. And so what they do here is they dig a big hole. You know, it's like an 8-foot deep hole. They put a concrete burial vault in the ground. And then they put the coffin inside that burial vault.
Oh, like a sarcophagus, basically.
Sort of, yeah, but it's not very fancy or anything. It's just sheets of concrete.
Okay, Stone Age sarcophagus.
Right, yeah. And then they would just, you know, then they put the lid on the vault. They call it a vault. Pour cement on the top of it so people can't go down and dig it up. And then they put all the dirt back on top.
You've got no hope of getting out of there if you're not dead, have you?
No, that's right. Absolutely.
Really?
Make sure you're dead before you get buried like that way, folks.
Yeah. No, I always said to them, slit my throat and my wrists, you know, throat, singular, not plural. Throat and wrists before you bury
Father,
me.
Father, Father Duncan is saying that that Stephen is not miffed with Bob, I don't know. He gave her advice from a psychological standing point. And he was worried that it was harmful for her to call so much, when in truth, he has admitted this, he has problems himself. That's coming from Father Duncan.
Well, Father Duncan, you see, Father Duncan knows everything, and Stephen doesn't.
Yeah, I'm beginning to get that. I like his picture. Mm. I love these pictures of, you know, Catholics, you know, they have this wonderful imagery. And this is one of the things I love about going into Catholic cathedrals and so forth. But, you know, they have these pictures of, like, Jesus with a sword through his heart, you know.
We didn't have one. No, it was through his side, not his heart.
Or they have, you know, somebody who's you know, head is on fire, you know. That they have these wonderful images of torture
Come on, Catholic Church, you're born with original sin.
Mm-hmm.
So you're screwed from the word go.
Yeah, yeah.
If you think about logically, what's the point in trying?
Yeah. Well, I'm with you.
brought up a good little Catholic girl. Mm-hmm. But what is the point in trying? Mm-hmm. Because you're never going to get it right, are you?
Right. Well, yeah, and you have to, the only hope is to confess your sins to the church.
Am I dropping out an awful lot here?
No, I hear you fine. I'm hearing you anyway.
Okay, fine. All right, well, that's good, because you keep dropping out to me.
Stephen, call back in a bit, Stephen.
Talk to him, and I'll disappear.
No, I'm going to talk to you.
Anyway, you're talking about different types of burials. There is, I can't remember, I don't know if it's China or India, but somewhere I think it's China, you can get buried in the trees.
Buried in the trees?
The string between a couple of trees.
I don't think that's China.
Quite fancy that one, and the birds come down and peck you.
Yeah, I think that's like New Guinea. Or somewhere
I don't know,
like
it's over that way somewhere, isn't it?
Yeah. China, New Guinea.
It's not in England. It's not around here.
Well, nor around here. It would make cemeteries a lot more interesting, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's great. Just bits of body parts falling down when the birds have dropped.
Yeah, that'd be great, yeah. It wouldn't be...
Have you ever been to Highgate Cemetery, by the way, in London?
I have been to Highgate Cemetery, yeah. It's been a long time, though. Yeah. I went to go see... I went up to go see Karl Marx's grave, and
strange. I thought you would go see that one.
But there were other people too, and I can't remember now who they all were. Is George Eliot up there? I think she is.
No idea, but
yeah.
I've heard that some of the should we just say normal populace, they have such fantastic graves in there as well.
Oh,
they're possibly worth seeing more. There's some of the, people just go and see the famous ones. So I have little tourist routes now. I mean, that's quite sad, isn't it? You have tourist routes like around the cemetery.
I think it's fantastic. I wanted to do that.
Just go around. It's better to just troll around and see what you find.
Yeah, and that's what I ended up doing when I was up in Highgate, because they only have so many tours per day.
Right.
And I wanted to go up there and see all the famous graves and all that stuff. But I have this thing, I love cemeteries anyway.
I love them.
I spent many a long hour
in the cemetery.
And I like the artwork. I like the statues and the carvings and the stained glass, and they have the little houses that you look in the window, and I like all that stuff. It's easy to forget with all the money and the artwork and that went into these things, that this is basically a very specialized single use landfill.
Yeah. Really? I suppose single use. They used to do family crypts, though.
Yeah. I like those. I like those too. Oh, Stephen Parker is saying that Father Duncan is now a cardinal.
Oh, we do apologize, Cardinal.
We do apologize. And Stephen is also saying that Highgate has a vampire.
I thought you were in Sweden, Stephen.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, my family grave, it was a case of we bought the plot. Mm-hmm. And then it's like three people deep.
Really?
Yeah, so you can... And every time somebody dies, it's just like the size of a normal coffin.
Okay.
When somebody else dies, you just dig down, but not quite as far as the next one, the bottom one, and you shove the next one on top, and you do the same again. Anyway, the point I was trying to make was, it's all changing in England, because people are disagreeing with reusing burial grounds.
So that's interesting, because I didn't realize they did that in the UK.
Sorry?
I didn't realize they did that in the UK, reuse burial grounds.
Yeah, because I'm...
I suppose it makes sense, because it's an island, and there's only so much places to bury people.
Well, that's the whole thing that I heard today. We haven't got enough room for the people on the living people. So we certainly haven't got enough room for the dead as well.
Right.
Something's got to give.
Basil Butler has messaged in. He says, hello, Basil. He says, hi, Tom. Just turned on. Good to hear that you are still going strong on here. When I'm dead, if it's cold weather, I'd like a nice warm cremation. But if the weather's hot, I'd like a nice burial at sea.
No, Basil, you live down the south. The only place you can get buried at sea is off New Haven. That's not a good place to get buried.
Well, you can't just take his ashes and throw them off the White
Coast.
No,
you can't. Oh, if he's cremated, possibly.
Yeah.
But if he wants a real burial at sea, you have to go off only certain parts of the country.
Well, you could do it while you're still alive.
Well, I can bury him while he's still alive.
Yeah.
Basil, fancy dead.
Well, I'm very glad to say Basil Botler's not dead. I do love Basil's show. So anyway, great. It's great to hear from Basil because I don't hear from there very often. Stephen Parker. Oh, okay. Stephen Parker.
It looks like you may have to extend your show, Tom.
No, I do have to go in a minute, but it is always. Stephen Parker is saying that look up. This is the Highgate Vampire. Look up Bishop Sean Manchester. So look up Bishop Sean Manchester. And with that, I got to go. So thank you very much.
Take care.
Thank you very much to Bob, I don't know, for calling in. And I will talk to you all next week. Show went very, very quick this week, didn't it? Anyway, this is Tom Harris in beautiful Chicago, Illinois. I'll see you next week, Saturday, 4 p.m. UK time, 10 a.m. here in Chicago. I'll talk to you all next week. Bye for now.